If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for seven figures. Go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code PODCAST for an instant $100 discount. See you in Nashville.
Listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast. I'm your host, Tim Lyons, in studio as always, Scott Still, HQ, Randy Engston. What's up, buddy?
How are we doing today?
Good. It's bigger, better. Depends on who you're asking.
That's a great question.
So let me give you a quick story. Guys, we opened our gym in 3,100 square feet. I think 3,167. Let's call it 3,200 square feet in 2009. It was in a really good location, anchored by a fine, you know, foods grocery tenant, big name in Arizona, and next door to a restaurant, next door to a tanning salon, nail salon, you know, all this stuff right in the center. And we got to a point where we felt like we were growing out of the space because we were doing large group training. We were outside doing ball slams and flipping tires, and we're running around in the parking lot, and there was a McDonald's being built. Yeah. And it was like all this stuff going on. It was like, man, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of this place. Let's go expand. Let's go bigger. And, you know, you got to remember this was the year 20, at this point, it was 2014 to 2015 when we were making this decision. We'd been in that location 6 years, going on to 6 years, and it was like, you know, it's time to move. And so we found a new space, 8,000 feet.
Right down the street.
Blocks away. Yeah. Blocks away. We're not going to lose anybody. This will be a great transition, and we can do all these cool things and do the boot camp, large group training inside, and we'll do semi-private. We were doing semi-private stills, but we were doing, it was probably 50-50. Let's just call it that, as far as like the amount of people. Maybe probably heavier on the large group training side. Anyways, moved to 8,000 square feet, and we grew. It was marginal at first, and then we grew and grew and grew as we changed the model. And the question becomes, is bigger better? And the honest truth is, during coming out of COVID, we were doing the remodel, I kind of had an epiphany. We had to remodel the gym. We were rebranding, and we tore the whole gym apart, like from top down to the studs. And the way we decided to do it was in phases. So we cut the gym in half, we put a temporary wall up, and we did construction on the front half and then the back half. The good news is we had a really cool building with a side door and a back door, and we could, you know, it was actually perfect. When we closed down the bathrooms, we brought like a really nice porta potty trailer out front, and we had like, it was like we knew what we were doing.
Sure.
Let's be honest. It was pretty damn smooth.
Yep.
And there was a point in time when we had moved into the front half and we were doing like 125 sessions a day with a third of the space that we have. Okay. And I was like pissed off because we were doing pretty damn good. And it was a good kind of feeling in the new space. And we were like, man, we're kind of like getting it done over here. Like, what are we need the
what
other
do we
half
need all
of
this for? Yeah.
What do we need this other 4,000 square feet for? We don't.
Yeah.
And obviously there was nothing I could do at that point. You know, we are where we are. And, you know, of course we have the podcast studio. We've got all this like other offices and stuff in here, but we're paying for it.
Correct.
Heavy overhead, you know, tapping on 17,500 this year, 17,500 a month in rent. And, you know, the question becomes, would I do that again? And the short answer, the quickest answer is absolutely not. Mm-hmm. There's way more margin, and we can run the same traffic or the same
clientele base
yeah. out of a 3,000 square foot place with half the overhead, right? Like you know, if you're going to go to a 8,000 to 3,000, and you go from a, you know, into a nicer center, it's probably going to be a little less than 50% because you're going to pay a premium
sure.
to be in. And that comes the next question. Would you rather pay a premium to be in a really you know, an anchored tenant center versus what I believe is the badge of honor in CrossFit is like going to the back of an industrial park at the cheapest rent. And what's better? And really the honest truth is there's no question in my mind, anchored tenant shopping centers would be the direction because of just the walk-in traffic.
Yeah. You're going to pay for eyes either through rent and visibility, you know, people in the area that are mm-hmm. walking past you every day, or you're going to pay for it in marketing. You know what I mean? So you're going to spend the money to get the eyes on what you're offering regardless.
Yeah.
Do you want to do it a little bit in rent, you know, over the long haul, or are you going to throw it through traditional forms of marketing like Meta and Google and the other things that, you know, you have to draw people to the location as opposed to they're already there.
Sure. And it brings up two great stories. One of them is we are working with a gym in Connecticut right now, and they're in a location that they're pretty fed up with. It's never been profitable, and they need to get out of there and go to this other center. And they've inked a deal, I think a letter of intent, with this other location, which is Primo. It's like the town center and all the businesses going on. There's right on the road. It's on the same road, but one's kind of offset. But the new location's like right there on the street. And they're being pressured from their current tenant or landlord to stay in the current location because there's this huge, well-known restaurant that's coming to lease the space below them. And it's like, you know, this guy's well-known. He's got six locations. He's friends with the landlord. And like, wouldn't that be great? And we had this long call and it boiled down to this. And here's what it was. You're banking on this restaurant.
There you go.
Coming in and bringing you business. Okay, that's what you're banking on. If you had never been here for 5 years, you wouldn't know any different. That might sound good to you. But you've been in this location and it's underperforming. And we're going to put all of our success in the hope that this other restaurant that's coming in is going to bring everybody into your business. Two things. One, you have no control over that.
Absolutely not.
Second is they're there for breakfast. They're not there to work out. Like, sure, you were going to get some eyeballs on you, and like, but there's nothing that is going to guarantee that they're going to come and sign up for you.
Yeah.
Versus the new location where it's like town center. Everybody goes to theirs. There's smoothie bars and wellness things and chiropractors and all these things that bring like multiple businesses bringing in the right clientele for you. Now, the same story is true. That doesn't mean they're going to go join your gym.
Sure.
But you're going to get the eyes of the location versus hoping that this tenant's going to bring people in. Whereas all of those other people are bringing people in right now because it's existing. You could stand over there on a Wednesday afternoon and look. Like, this is what is normal.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm pushing them over there, and they're like getting sidelined. I got to call them today. I got to make sure that they haven't made any new changes to their plan. Yeah. But to me, the prime location outweighs the cheap rent tenfold.
Sure.
And here's another reason why. Number one, it's getting harder to market. Like, let's just be honest. You're going to continue to spend more, and it's 100% up to you to get people in that center if you're in a tough location. Like, if you're in the cheap rent CrossFit guy with the roll-up door, 100% on you.
Yep.
Cool. I mean, if marketing was cheap, if it was going down, maybe. When you're in the center, we have a gym owner that literally just moved locations, sent up 30 people with no marketing because of walk-ins, because he's in a better location.
Yeah.
And so we were in a better location than we are now. So at the time in 2014 to 2015, when we moved to the new location, yeah, it was two blocks away, but it was out of that really good center with the nail salon and the tanning salon, the restaurants and stuff. Now where it's up to us, we still we're right on the same street, but you know, unless we're marketing, nobody's walking in here.
Yeah.
And so that was a bad decision 10 years ago, a decade ago.
Sure.
So that was probably the wrong decision. I mean, we've made it work. Now here's the kicker, right? We're coming up on another term in a couple of years. Like, what do we do next? Can we go back to a smaller location? It's really weird, right? We're going to have to make some decisions here pretty soon. It's like, I don't know.
Hey, Tim Lyons here, and let me ask you a quick question. If you had the exact playbook the top 5% of gym owners run, how big would your numbers jump this year? Lock that playbook in September 4th through 6th in Nashville at the 2025 Grow Summit. 3 days laser-focused on building a gym that prints, profit, and buys back your time. Okay, I'm going to walk you through the 7 habits of the highly profitable gyms that we work with. You'll master the Love's Flywheel with Dan Waymera. You're going to learn magnetic hiring with Lindsay Vastola and even bolt on a 5-figure nutrition program with Jennifer Brockstrom. You need marketing firepower? Alicia Little shows you AI automation that do the heavy lifting while you sleep. Do you want unshakable sales swagger? Christopher Carter's body language tactics seal the deal. Then New York Times best-selling author Donald Miller closes us out by teaching you how to clarify your message so clients line up and referrals explode. Single track stage, zero fluff, only 250 seats. These are the exact frameworks owners use to scale, step back, or even sell their gym for 7 figures. VIP is disappearing fast, so go to fitprogrowsummit.com, choose your seat, and drop the code podcast for an instant $100 discount. Good only while you're hearing my voice. Grow Summit 2025, build the gym that wins. See you in Nashville.
Well, it goes back, it goes back to two things. One, do you move location? Let's just say hypothetically you had the option of just downsizing here, cutting off half, maybe, a portion of what you're utilizing here in this spot. You know, can you trim some of the overhead to a smaller location? Do it here. That'd probably be ideal. Is it possible? Don't know. Can you move locations to where it's somewhere similar, right? Same thing. We're not going to lose clientele by moving 20 miles, 15 mm-hmm. mile, 10 mile, whatever it may be. But then the other half of that is we know the goal is a smaller footprint because of the first half of your, what you were talking about, right? Like we know that the margins, all of that goes direct to profit if we didn't have all of an extra overhead to carry, right? So it's almost like the phases of business ownership, that you've talked about, right? Optimization is kind of where you're at right now. How do you, with all of the things in play, how do we get the most out of this that's, one, going to benefit you as an owner, going to benefit the business overall, but that's where the decisions have to be made. You have to look at all of these things. You have to consider these things. If you listening are looking at locations or considering opening a gym, all of those things, take this stuff into consideration. I think both of us would agree bigger is definitely not better. I would much, and we've had gym owners that we've had the same discussion with, right? Like it was too early for them to expand and go blow out a wall and open up or extend their, expenses because they didn't need it versus their capacity and utilization in their footprint, right? Yeah. The goal of this business is to make as much profit as possible with all of things considered, right? And if you don't have to grow,
the thought then becomes, if I'm going to take on, let's say, an extra $4,000 in rent, will that make me $12,000 in profit? Maybe.
Yeah.
It just depends.
How is it going to happen, right? Is it happening through more marketing budget, more expense to get those more?
So that $4,000 in overhead becomes $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. And so now is an extra $2,000 a month worth it for all the headaches and outlay? It's all needs to be lined out, right?
And then we're talking, there is going to be a point of, call it a tipping point when it comes to the people that you're serving in the business too, do what you have when it comes to, coaching, staff, your schedule, all of that type of stuff. Can you expand and utilize maximum that opportunity with that square footage added? Can you afford to put another coach on the floor? Can you do, like, there's so many things that come with being able to serve more people. And sometimes it's not about just more people, more square footage. It's about the optimization of the business within. I would much rather serve 100 clients really well, high end, and have a phenomenal service-based business. I mean, we work with a lot of gyms that with 100 people, they can make $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
it comes down to I think this is a really good way of looking at it too, is what do you want the business to serve you with? Like what is the goal of the business? And then taking that and looking at the business, the square footage session, how many sessions you can operate out of it, your coaching team, all of the things that it takes to deliver on that. Does this location give you that, opportunity or does it not? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. Don't shoot yourself in the foot or don't go too big.
yeah.
out of the gate
yeah.
unless you know that you're going to utilize every bit of that. I mean, realistically, if we looked at the square footage here, we could probably double the capacity. But now we're talking 400 something members in a semi-private business.
More coaches, more attrition.
That was going to be one of the things I brought up too, right?
Yeah, when you have more members, even at moderate attrition, let's just call it 4%. With 400 members, you're replacing 16. With 200, you're replacing 8. With 100, you're replacing 4.
You know, well, and again,
there's a cost per acquisition. Yep. Unless you've got organic ways to get people in the door, you're probably doing them already. Unless you can't really like pour fuel on organic like referrals, like you can try, but sometimes it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
like the people just don't want to refer. Not because they don't love you. There's something else going on in some of these people's heads. And it's very, very interesting. We've noticed this many years ago when we changed from large group to semi-private only. The culture changes because the person's different that we're serving. It's not the same person. You can get people to adopt from large group into semi-private, but the human being is a little bit different when you're attracting them. The person at the semi-private, it's not about tribe. It's not about more. It's not about seeing. It's about them.
Absolutely.
For them to refer somebody to you, it's they have to say, well, my time and not seeing all these friends and stuff where I come in here, I keep kind of kick them out. I'm going to invite that in. I don't want to do that.
It's almost like isolate. Like they enjoy the isolation factor of leaving the rest of the world outside, right? There's almost like a secret sauce to it, too.
Secret, you know, secret society.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, they don't want to share the secret of what's getting them a result sometimes.
It's weird.
They don't want, exactly. It's very strange, but.
I've had people say that to me, by the way. I had a doctor tell me that. I go, hey, man, I know you're a doctor and your business thrives on referrals. You haven't referred anybody. And I'm not saying you have to. I'm just questioning, like, dude, how do we get more people in here through, like, your practice? Like, we've sent you a ton of people. He goes, I don't want anybody in here that knows me.
Interesting.
So he's like, he's very selfish, but it's what he wanted. And that's why I didn't refer anybody. And it's just like, kind of fuck, you know, like up yours, dude. Well, the referrals to him stopped.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
It's not a two-way street.
None of it's a two. Dude, they'll be so honest with you guys. Like gym owners right now that you had this high hopes of the chiropractor, or the physical therapist or the naturopathic doctor that you've sent dozens, if not 50 people to, sending you like 10 or 12 or 5% back. It won't happen. So do not expect it to happen. If you're ever going to do a deal expecting reciprocation, get an affiliate deal where anytime you send somebody to them, they pay you because they ain't sending you somebody back. Even though they said they would, it just doesn't happen. And I don't know why. It's just expected of gyms to outsource and nobody's coming back to the gym. Just interesting.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Like, you know, that doctor has overweight patients that need to work out and get on a nutrition plan, but they would rather prescribe medication and Ozempic than send them to the gym. And it's just, that's just the way it is. Like you can't fight it. I've tried. We had a physical therapist in this room behind us and it was up front. My man, we got to cross refer and yeah, man, I'm all over it. We built his business from zero. I think he left with 50 clients when we kicked him out. Like, dude, you're just not holding up your end of the deal. What you're paying for us in that rent does not cover the cost of what we can use that room for. It was a business thing.
Yep.
Nice guy.
Yeah. And it's not personal. Like the bottom line is all of this stuff is business. All of this stuff is math. You have to look at the business just like that. Your decisions should be led, you know, with a lot of logic to back the decision making, not just emotionally pour in, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Yeah, but does it actually have the ability to pay you what it needs to?
Yeah. Well, just know this, guys. Just know this. What we sell in the fitness industry is hard work, okay? It's not appealing. We can make it sound as easy as possible, but if the honest truth is the client's got to do work. I mean, there's no way around it. We also need to agree that there's only so much budget that a client has to spend on things like wellness, whatever, right? And when you're in line with somebody that you refer them out to and they start getting some relief out of pain, maybe it's a chiropractor. I'm just throwing an example out here. and they're getting massages and they're getting, man, my back feels so much better. My neck, I'm sleeping better. And they're getting all these results from being manipulated, not like physically
manipulated,
yeah. Not like mentally, but physically manipulated through adjustments and things like that. And they're getting the result. They're out of pain, physical pain and mental, where they're not like, they kind of like, hey, I don't really need to work out anymore.
Think about their wellness like they used, like as a problem like they used to. Yeah.
Maybe I'll just cut that gym out.
Yep.
And so here you are doing the right thing by the client, helping out the other business. You send them to a chiropractor or a physical therapist and they're getting results over there and they're charging them more and more. And maybe some point they're paying that person more than you. And then they quit your membership and stay with them. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So just be careful. Just know. Like, I think you need to help the client first. Like, sure. That's number one. But there's potential, and it's happened dozens of times here where we've outsourced somebody and they've stayed with that other provider, not a fitness provider, but they cut their fitness out to get the results that they're really wanting from another thing, a doctor, GLP, whatever.
And, you know, there's the human dynamic there that even if it doesn't come down to money, it's the ease. It's the, I can show up once a week. At best, maybe it's like every other week to get adjusted or get, you know, service over here.
Yeah.
But I got to be in the gym 3-4 times a week and beat the hell out of myself in order to see, feel, experience something that, you know, I feel is a gain. People can gravitate towards the path of least resistance. Like the reason that, you know, GLP-1s and all of this stuff is like exploding beyond the fitness industry is because it's for the lack of a better term, it's an easy button. Right?
It's an easy button, and we need this to play out a little bit longer, but I think the people that are losing all their muscle mass, they're going to start coming back.
Well, I think that the onus is on the gym owner to be that solution for that,
yeah.
Right? Let's not go battle the weight loss factor that they're doing over here. Let's provide something that they can't, that we know that client needs. That should be the communication that we're bringing to the marketplace, yeah, right? Strength, sure. Putting muscle mass, saving muscle mass, because we know it's non-discriminatory when it's, you know, to getting weight off of you. Those clients are going to need this service more than ever after they go down that route. But if you, the gym owner, aren't speaking to those things, educating clients, right, long-term nurturers, things like that, don't expect them to come back in your doors.
And not like that doctor is going to send them over. You got to go talk to that doctor. So anyways, we got off the, what was our topic today? I don't even, what was doing?
We were talking about the square footage and bigger is not better.
There you go. But anyways, we got off topic, but I think you get the point. We're not going to ramble on any longer. We've taken up too much of your time. Nick, what's our time count on that? This one? Yeah, we're right.
But have at it.
It's like I have like this internal timer when it's time, around 18 to 22 minutes.
Send you on your way. Let the little baby bird fly.
Go off and do good things. All right, that's it for this episode. Hopefully that helped you. Get the brain spinning, turning, twisting. Guys, we got a huge event coming up in Nashville. I'm actually heading to Long Beach tomorrow to go speak at the Perform Better. Hopefully I could see some folks there. If you have any questions, we got links in the show notes all over the place. That's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.